Before I gavel the meeting to order, I want to go ahead and give a couple of reminders here for everyone who's tuning in today. If you wish to speak when it comes time for public comment, or if it's a department head when we're talking about your portion of the budget, please state your name prior to speaking. You're going to probably need to speak up a little bit to make sure that the audio gets captured properly. And then when you're not speaking, please remember to mute your microphone so we don't get background noise or any backfeed on anybody's equipment. We're going to go ahead and we'll do public comment as we always do. It'll be called for prior to each vote at the end of the meeting. So please, if you have any comments, please wait until it's called for. The time is 10 o'clock, so I'm going to go ahead and start this meeting. Good morning, everyone. The Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Although we are broadcasting this over the internet and we don't have an audience in here today, the persons who are in this room today are myself and the County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens. We're going to go ahead and go through the same procedure and routine as we do for any regular scheduled meeting, and that we're going to go ahead and start our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. So, if anybody wishes to stand and join in with me, go right ahead. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for that. Now, as listening to people recite the pledge, there will be a little bit of a time delay. So if you're talking and someone else wishes to speak, give it a moment or two because it'll take time for that audio to go ahead and cross the wires, okay? So thank you. We're going to move along now to item number three. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the agenda for April the 7th, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, I'm Mr. Chairman. I'm going to recommend and I'm going to say the number of reading item. We recommend that we continue number 9, which is presentation of switch and solar circuits. Number 10, which is special use permit 2012. Number 25, which is parcel map 20013. Number 26, which is first reading of Bill 115, Ordinance 20-304, regarding Title 17. 27, which is first reading of Bill 116, Ordinance 2305, Text Amendments to Title 17. Number 28, first reading of Bill 117, Ordinance 20-306, Amendments to Title 17. And 29, first reading of Bill 118, Ordinance 2307, Text Amendments to Title 17. And for all of those that I said text to Title 17, Title 17 is the Story County Zoning Ordinance text. And number 30, Resolution number 20-568, to reduce rent or consider reduction of rent on commercial tenant of properties in Story County. So once again, it's 9, 10, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. All of them to be continued to the April 9th, 10 o'clock Board of County Commissioners meeting. That will be taking place as published already on the agenda through this Zoom program.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding the agenda for today?
This is Nicole Bard. I have a quick question.
Go right ahead.
Is this being recorded like the commission meetings, so it'll be available after the meeting?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Additional public comment? Hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve today's agenda.
I move to approve today's agenda with the modifications noted. I'll second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number four. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the minutes for February the 18th, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and second to approve the minutes for February the 18th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number five, discussion for possible action. Approval of the minutes for March the 17th, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if I can get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for March.
Second.
And moving to second to approve the minutes for March the 17th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Move along now to item number six. That is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, we get a motion from Commissioner Carmona, please.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number seven. This is discussion only. We'll take no action in public comment. These are committee and staff reports. I'd like to start this with our Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect. Thank you.
That surprises me. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Joe Curtis for the record. I do have some comments that Austin asked me to give you all an update on where we are and what's been occurring. Since this event began for Story County Emergency Management on March 5th, it has been a long 4 weeks of total immersion in our county minimum staff DOC dealing with this COVID-19 matter. The commissioners enacted a declaration on emergency for the county on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. And since that time, we have remained free of any COVID-19 cases in Story County. So everybody be knocking on wood about that one. So far we've been, and we're looking pretty good. It's been apparent that the great citizens and the business owners in Story County have diligently strived to follow the governor's directives to stay home for Nevada, and in our case, stay home for Story. To their effort, I credit our ability to stay case-free of COVID-19 in Story County. The Quad County group, just for reference, as of this morning, Carson City has 11 active cases, not 11 total cases, 10 of them of which are active, and one which has recovered. Douglas County has 7 total cases, 6 of them which are active, and 4 of them which have recovered. Lyon County has 3 total, 3 active, and 0 recovered at this point. The Quad County has no deaths from COVID-19 as of this point in time. Story County actually has an infectious disease plan in place. We have been following that 5-stage plan and currently stand at a level of 4 response. Level 5 relates to how we respond to if we actually have an active case of infectious disease of any kind in our county. We are prepared to move to level 5 should that happen. In 1994, Story County Fire Department teamed up with Carson, Lyon, and Douglas to establish the Quad County Hazmat Response Team. That has worked extremely well. Approximately 40 years ago, about 2016, Story County again partnered up with Carson City, Lyon County, and Douglas to form the Quad County Multi-Agency Assistance Group, which the county commissioners signed on to. We've all developed similar emergency operation plans for response and for our EOCs. The Quad County MAC, as it's known, Multi-Agency Assistance Group, broke new ground in Nevada and has been recognized for its innovation and innovative ideas to form a group of counties or region to assist each other with managing major disaster events affecting one or more of the four counties. This COVID-19 event has put the Quad County Multi-County Assistance Group in the spotlight throughout Nevada and even in the West. The formation of the Quad County EOC to manage COVID-19 in collaboration with the Carson City Health and Human Services for the four counties has been our first opportunity to showcase how this coalition can function in a highly effective way. This Quad County concept provides the public with a unified command, a unified public information, and a unified response to the disaster in the interest of the businesses and citizens of the four county region. Emergency management maintains daily conference calls with the county core EOC group and the department heads of our county. The Quad County as a group opened up a Quad County EOC in Carson City to work with the Carson City Health and Human Services Group, which oversees the four counties for emergency health matters. Emergency management maintains daily conference call with the Quad County EOC located in Carson City to assure that the four counties are all on the same response page. Emergency management maintains daily conference calls contact with the MAC group, which is tasked with actually oversight and management of the Quad County Emergency Operations Center. Emergency management for Story County maintains weekly conference calls and contact with the State Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security. We've provided a person to help staff the Quad County Emergency Operations Center as our liaison at the EOC. Carson, Lyon, and Douglas, as well as the Carson City Health and Human Services, have provided other position-specific personnel to staff the EOC over these last several weeks. We have cooperated with Washoe County, which last week requested that we provide them with one of our three 100-bed shelter trailers as a mutual aid item through the Nevada Mutual Aid Compact. That is a trailer that we have that is equipped to handle up to 100 shelter patients or sheltered individuals. This has involved constant daily interaction with County Manager Austin Osborne and all of the county department heads, the four counties individually, as well as the Quad County Emergency Operations Center. Searching for and trying to acquire proper PPE for our fire department, EMS, and response personnel with the sheriff's department, such as gowns, gloves, masks, face shields, and eye protection, has been a real trying situation. We have found bits and pieces here and there and acquired them and added them to our inventory. Eye protection, gloves, and masks have been acquired, but gowns are almost non-existent. But resource requisitions are still being submitted, and we chase that stuff down every day. We're in pretty good shape for stock of these items, with the exception of gowns, and are diligently seeking more gowns all the time. We have worked recently with Tesla to acquire a warehouse of at least 30,000 square feet to store incoming personal protective equipment, which would involve gowns, purchased by the state and donated materials that were acquired by the governor's office. And that warehouse goes into formal operation by the National Guard today, actually, and it's out 550 Milan Drive in the industrial complex. Tesla has gone way over the basic plan of providing space correction for offering tables, chairs, electrical power, internet, snacks for the guard personnel that will be staffing and managing the warehouse area. Tesla has offered trucks to distribute the incoming materials around northern Nevada, and I personally commend them for their community and a bit commitment to beating COVID-19. this is going to be helpful for Northern Nevada by being able to store all of this incoming material that the state has acquired over the next several weeks. Over the weekend, we finally managed to acquire a source for hospital-grade hand sanitizer and surface sanitizer, sanitizer for our county personnel and their offices to help protect our personnel. Jason Wisbecki picked the items up on Sunday afternoon, and yesterday morning we filled bottles and distributed hand sanitizer to all employees and departments so desiring to avail themselves of the product. Kind of lastly, I just want to say that Laura Mather, who stepped into Sherry Neville's position on a dead run, has worked right along with us with every step of our way in this emergency management activities dealing with COVID-19, and she's not missed a beat. She has been a great asset and a partner on the EM side of things. That's basically my overview of kind of where we are and what we've been doing and working on. So I would ask if there's any questions, if I might be able to answer them.
Go ahead, Lance.
Well, I don't have a question. Thank you.
Okay. Jay?
I'm good. Thank you. Appreciate the update, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Joe and Laura, both of you. Joe has been giving us, you know, daily briefings on this. We had meetings every day when this first got started, and so it's about every other day now. But he's still giving us updates every day on where we stand here in the Quad County area. So, Joe, thank you for your tireless hours on this. I know it hasn't been easy, but when we get to Austin's going to do a staff report next, and then Austin can talk about other department heads who've worked tirelessly through this effort as well. So we'll move on to Austin Osborne now.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Joe, for really, you covered everything. I just want to reiterate, it's all of us that are in this meeting here that are involved in this. Eric Schoen from the community, Chad Stephen. He has all his programs for food and for working with seniors and his health programs and health and wellness and stress and behavioral health. I mean, he's got everything. And it's very appreciated to have him and his team with us and working on that side of this event. Danny and his team and all of us have worked on, you know, what do we do post-event to try to rejuvenate tourism and try to make this impact as less as possible on those small businesses through town. Thank you, Danny, and all that you do, and that we'll continue to do together on that. Every one of us here has something involved in something. Our HR department has worked on everything from individual employment plans to social distancing programs and telecommuting. Every kind of custom thing you can think of for every department are statutory and requires to be open under certain circumstances to departments that are not. Departments that do not interface with the public and those that do. And those that are the backbone of everything we do, like 911 communications and IT. We cannot do it without those people being involved in helping us get through this and keep everything running and open, but also doing so in a safe way. And just a couple things have been posted. Anybody can look online what we do, what is going on. We have canceled large events. We have closed non-essential businesses across the county and enforced that. We're discouraging other businesses in Virginia City. Some of those folks that want to come up just to walk around, discouraging that. Extended court and other meetings, county meetings, doing online bill pay. Employees that are sick for anything, stay home through telecommuting and other means, changing appointments around, and a long, long list of other custom things for East Park that are trying to get us through this and still remain open. And that's senior services with Stacy. Same thing, our seniors are not forgotten, they're well cared for in this. She's got errands that her team runs for seniors, for prescriptions, for food, for bank deposits, all different kinds of things. She provides, gives people health services, and food, and meals on wheels, and you know, all those sorts of programs. So I'm just going to end up with this for everybody here. I thank you so much for being on our team with this. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Austin. That'll conclude the committee and staff reports for today. We'll move on now to item number 8. These are board comments, which will take no action or public comment. I'll start with Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any comments today, Commissioner?
I have nothing today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lance. I'll move on to the Vice Chairman, Jay Carmona.
I would love to echo what Austin said. I think a time like this, when our team really shines, I've been thoroughly impressed with the way Story County has handled themselves so far. I just want to give a big thank you to everybody involved.
Thank you, Jay. My comments are as, Story County, where the government, we're open for business. Everything is operational except for the DMV, which is a state agency as well. Everybody's working. They're working hard, keeping everything running. Especially, our first responders, they are the front line, our deputy sheriffs and our firemen, paramedics, that are going on all these calls. I mean, they're always, their safety is in peril when they go on these calls because they're the first ones there. But anyway, we have a lot of respect, for our frontline guys and we appreciate the hard work that they're doing. The residents are doing a good job as well. As Joe pointed out, we don't have any active cases yet, knock on wood. And no deaths in the Quad Counties area, which is a good thing. Our residents are doing a good job. You look after your neighbor and that. If you're going to the store, ask your neighbor if you need to pick up a few items for them as well. So it's kind of save several trips to the store or the post office and that. The social distancing seems to work. I know not everyone was on board when the governor first put out his directive, followed up by the president's orders too, but it looks like things are getting better, especially in the hot spots back east. As Austin pointed out, you can follow what we're doing countywide by going to the county website. Also, if you're inclined to social media, we're posting on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well. So there's a whole variety out there trying to find out where we're going in Story County. So that's all I have with that. We've continued a few items. So we're going to move on now to item number 11, and we're going to have Jeannie Green handle this. I believe Jeannie's going to handle this. This is a discussion for possible action. Approval policy 613, a new policy that allows for paid leave provisions for Families First Coronavirus Response Act of H.R. 6201, passed by Congress and signed by the President on March the 18th of 2020.
Thank you. This is Jeannie Green. And as you said, policy 613 incorporates the requirements of the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. The policy provides for two types of leaves for eligible employees. Section 2 provides up to 80 hours of emergency paid sick leave for full-time employees, and part-time employees receive a prorated amount. Section 2.2 lists the 6 conditions for which an employee may take this leave. Section 2.3 provides a definition of emergency responder. This definition is from the Department of Labor, and it's expanded beyond what we normally apply. Emergency responders will be entitled to emergency paid sick leave for the first 3 conditions outlined in 2.2. Section 2.4 indicates employees taking leave for the first 3 conditions receive 100% of their pay. Employees taking leave for the second 3 conditions will receive 2/3 of their pay. The employees can augment the 2/3 pay by using accrued comp time, sick, or annual leave to be paid at 100%. The second type of leave provided in this legislation is under Section 3. This is emergency FMLA leave, which is only for employees who are unable to work because their child's school or childcare is closed due to COVID-19. And pay under the emergency FMLA is at a two-thirds rate, which again, the employees can augment with accrued leave. Healthcare providers and emergency responders are excluded from the emergency FMLA. Are there any questions?
Go to Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any questions for Jeannie?
No questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, any questions for Jeannie?
None.
Thank you. So right now I'll open up. Is there any public comment?
Nope.
Nicole Bard. Any others out there with public comment? If you wish, make sure you unmute your microphone if you wish to speak. Hearing no additional comment, I'm going to get a motion to approve this policy 613.
I, Commissioner Carmona, move to approve policy 613, Families First Coronavirus Response Act, as presented.
Second the motion.
It's been moved to a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. All right. Now we're going to get down to the nuts and bolts of today's meeting. This is item 12. We're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Board of Fire Commissioners, which brings us up to item number 13, discussion for possible action, approval of policy 065, a new policy that allows for the paid leave, pensions of Families First Coronavirus Response Act, HR 6201, passed by the Congress and signed by the President, March 18, 2020. This is exactly the same thing we just went over, but this applies to the fire service as well. Ms. Green?
You are exactly correct. This policy is identical to the policy that you just approved.
Thank you. Any public comment from my commissioners? Any public comment from the general public? Motion to approve. Can I get a motion to approve? Okay.
I move to approve the policy 065, Families First Coronavirus Response Act as presented.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second your motion.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Now we're going to go ahead and get into the nuts and bolts of this. This is item 14, discussion for possible action, review and possible approval of the 2020-2021 474 Fire District tentative budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. So we're going to turn this over to the Comptroller's Office and Jennifer McCain.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Interim Comptroller. Before we get started, I just wanted to go over a couple of changes that we have across all the budgets. First off, due to the fact that the Clerk Treasurer's Office handles all the revenue, we wanted to take advantage of that expertise, so we asked Vanessa to join our team. So our revenues are fairly solid with her input. As well, the Comptroller's Office has been working closely with Austin, the County Manager, and other department heads to get the capital improvement plan integrated into the capital project funds and infrastructure and the equipment acquisition fund in the various budgets. So moving on to the fire department, we have increases in wages and benefits due to normal merit increases, and with the health insurance estimate increase of 12.5%. The fire general fund revenue is falling a little bit short of the expenses. There are a few reasons for this. Chief Nevin is currently looking at the SAFER grant, and that is not 100% a done deal, so it will possibly be added into the final budget as well as Tesla negotiations are still going on for their contributions into the fire department. And I also want to mention that this fire budget does not include any changes due to ongoing negotiations with the fire district union. The mutual aid fund has transferred $150,000 into the fire general fund to help bring it into the black. This transfer might need to be grow as the negotiations continue, but that's not a definite item. As far as his capital projects fund, he has a healthy balance of over $500,000, $28,000 being planned to be spent in the current year. And Jeff has some uses for this in the coming year, including refurbishing an ambulance, as well as a few other items. That's all I have for fire. If you have any questions?
Jennifer, did you skip over fire emergency by chance?
I'm sorry, I did.
Why don't we just to cover it. Just so we have all of our bases covered, I think we should go ahead and talk about it.
The fire emergency budget is set up to help the fire department through at in-county fire without touching or in hurting their budgeted general fund.
Very good. Thank you, Vanessa. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
I have no questions, thank you.
Great. Commissioner Carmona?
I don't have any questions either.
Very good, thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this budget item? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve the tentative budget for the fire district.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the filing of the 2020-2021-474 Fire District tentative budget to the Department of Taxation.
I'll second your motion.
I have a motion and a second to approve the tentative fire budget for the 474 Fire District. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. This time we're going to recess as the 474 Fire District Board and convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, which brings us up to item number 16, discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2020-2021 Water Sewer Tentative Budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. Ms. McCain.
Okay. The Water and Sewer Department definitely need a little bit of fine-tuning. We knew that the revenues were not covering operations in both of these funds, which is the reason that we asked Far West to do a study, and they also agreed that there was a need for a rate increase, which is included in this budget. Between the tentative and the final, we will work closely with Public Works to get a better handle on the expenses for both of these funds. However, operations costs are what they are, and they do have a healthy fund balance to help compensate for the first year of the rate increase while we see things catch up. As well, they have wages and benefits in both the water and the sewer department, and these increases are due to regular merit increases and a 2% increase in the pay chart for the AFSCME union that was agreed upon last year, as well as the health increase of approximately 12.5%.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
No questions, thank you.
Commissioner Carmona?
I do not.
All right, I'll go to the general public, or is there any public comment? Hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve the tentative budget for the water and sewer.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the filing of the 2020-2021 water sewer tentative budget to the Department of Taxation.
I'll second your motion.
It's been moved to second to approve the tentative budget for water and sewer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. At this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Water and Sewer Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us up to item number 18, discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2020-2021 Story County tentative budget with the exclusion of the Sheriff's budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. Ms. McCain.
The general fund revenue, as you can see, has slightly increased over projections for the current year. All tax revenue has been budgeted as guided by the Nevada Department of Taxation for FOMA report and their revenue report. Charges for services have been adjusted to be in line with what's actually happening while staying conservative. Our interest income from investments, Vanessa, the clerk treasurer, spoke with our investment firms, and on their average recommendation, we lowered the interest income to 60% of the current year's revenue. We have taken, in the tentative budget, there have been no adjustments as far as the current COVID situation, and between the tentative and final, our team will be working and getting some scenarios together as to where the direction this is going. Moving on to the individual department and funds, the clerk treasurer and recorder's office has significant decrease in their supplies and services due to their records management project being completed successfully. The public works departments, you'll see changes in wages and benefits due to reallocation of employee percentages across all their departments, as well as with all funds and departments that have wage increases. They're mostly due to merits and the 2% actually pay chart increase. Buildings and grounds specifically, supplies and services have gone up due to new county buildings, utilities, maintenances, and they have also requested a couple of capital outlay items that would be specific to their department. Parks and pools, the supplies and services has mainly gone up due to the utilities being reorganized and chemical prices going up across the board. In the service department, we have an increase in operating supplies. I've been working with Trent in the service department to create the tools account number so that you can track smaller tool items more efficiently, as well as his dues and subscriptions has gone up because their diagnostic manuals are now available online, so he's purchasing a subscription to that. The road department revenue has decreased due to lower state projections, as well as the interest rates that I previously discussed. And again, this year, the general fund will be transferring $400,000 into the road department to support their expenses. As far as the expenses in the road department, he has a few capital requests, and his larger capital requests have been moved to equipment acquisition for the capital improvement plan of the county. Community development, wages, and benefits have had some motion in a strange situation. We're no longer budgeting for a contract department head, and we have added a new inspector. Due to this not having a contracted department head, the wages have gone down, but the benefits have stayed the same because contracted employees are not included in the benefit calculations. The DA's office has had a decrease in wages and benefits due to a reorganization of her office and the DA's decision to utilize professional services for a few of those open positions. The Justice of the Peace Department, wages and benefits have gone up due to merits, longevity, and an additional overtime line item for anticipated jury trials. Her supplies and services have increased due to moving to her new location and furniture. The Justice Court Fund is a special revenue fund for the Justice Court. Increases in these expenses are due to moving to the new location. These funds are just be spent under specific NRS regulations. Judge Harrington is always very well aware of and keeps track of. The communications department has increases in supplies and services due to moving to their new location, as well as adding a new 911 service for the county. IT increases are due to his supplies and services, where he's increasing substantially the internet security for countywide and equipment maintenance and new software needs of the county. Several of his capital project items have been included in the infrastructure fund, which we'll talk about in a little bit. The comptroller's office has increased in wages and benefits due to a new administrative assistant position. There's a significant increase in the wages and benefits. However, I'd like to point out that 50% of this new position will be reimbursed to the county by the V&T Railroad, which will bring that increase down significantly. We need to budget entirely for that position in the comptroller's office because that's where the expense will be paid. Emergency management. Due to past and current emergencies, we have realized that there needs to be a line item for overtime in this budget, so we have added that. Other increases are due to auto maintenance on a current vehicle and training.
And there will be some reimbursement on those costs too.
Yes.
In disasters.
Yes. FEMA generally will only reimburse wages for overtime items. Emergency mitigation, this is a fund that is designed to carry the county through emergencies such as the one we're going through right now. During our emergency a few years ago at the flood, it was decided that this fund needed to raise its ending fund balance. And as a process with our plan, we have included in transferring money out of the general fund into this fund every year until we reach our limit, which is 10% of the county's expenses. Attached in the emergency mitigation section of your binders, you will see a letter from Joe Curtis where he agrees with raising this fund. Community services. Wages and benefits have decreased due to staffing changes and taking two of the Lockwood Senior Center employees out of the county budget and having them paid in the Senior Center payroll. Our county grants in this section we've seen a few changes. We are no longer contributing to the RSVP. Youth services have increased $10,000 due to the growing need of the community. The library contribution has increased $5,000 due to the expansion of the tech center. St. Mary's Art Center has an increase of $20,000 to help address a porch leak issue among a few other projects. The Senior Center budget this year looks like it has a large increase, but that is due to some issues that we had with that budget last year and some miscalculations on changing the split between the Virginia City Senior Center and the North Valley North Senior Center, this budget currently is actually the same as last year with a split of $206,000 to the Virginia City Senior Center and $70,000 to the North Senior Center. They have also requested some help in obtaining a vehicle that they have put in a grant for, and we have approved one vehicle at $22,000, and when that grant funds are received, they would reimburse the county. We have a new nonprofit added to our list, which is the cemetery, and we are granting them $25,000 to help with the county portion of the cemetery. Equipment acquisition has a very healthy ending fund balance as of the end of 2019 in the audit. We've been working closely with Austin and department heads to utilize this fund with the capital improvement plan, where we're purchasing equipment and vehicles for the county. Currently budgeted for 2021 is a public works pickup for the roads department, a cold planer, and a snow plow. The service department is in need of a new 18,000-pound lift. And the sheriff's department has requested two new patrol vehicles. As we work through the capital improvement plan in the next few weeks, there may be more items added to this. And we plan on keeping everyone posted on what's happening with this plan and these capital improvement funds as we move forward. The commissioner's department has had a decrease in their overall budget with some reorganization and not filling an open position. The administrative department has also decreased their budget due to the same items as above, the reorganization. This department is also charged with the duty of transferring the money to other funds. And as we move forward through the capital improvement plan, we may find a need for more transfers into our capital projects fund, infrastructure fund, and the equipment acquisition fund. One new transfer this year that we haven't done in a couple of years has been a transfer into Piper's Opera House to help keep them operating. We will discuss a little more of that in the Piper's fund. The planning department has had a decrease in wages and benefits due to a decision to not fill two positions and take them entirely off the books. They have decided to fill these positions with professional services rather than train a new person to come in and learn the special projects that they need done. Capital projects. As with equipment acquisition, we're working closely with the county manager's office and department heads to utilize this fund and keep it in line with the capital improvement plan. Currently budgeted for 2021 is a dog kennel for the sheriff's department down at the jail facility, our new justice center on the divide, a few projects at the B&T Depot, a new community center in Virginia City Highlands, and as I said before, we'll be working on this in the next few weeks and possibly adding a few capital improvement items into this fund, and we will keep you posted. Infrastructure fund falls under the same ideas. And in this plan, right now, you will see the majority of these funds are being spent on IT projects, bringing more reliable internet connections throughout the county and into the new Justice Center. The tri-payback fund, we're currently in negotiations. However, money is going to continue to be transferred into this fund as we have done in the past few years from the general fund, equipment acquisition, and the fire fund. The VCTC, first off, it needs to be noted that this fund will be significantly impacted by the decrease in revenue due to the current situation. How much at this point, it's really a difficult guess, but canceling events and having our hotels and local businesses closed is going to decrease their revenue in the current year and possibly into 2021. Between the tentative and the final, we will need to make some hard decisions on how this fund will be budgeted, and we'll work closely with Denny and his board. Before the current situation, increases in revenue and expenses have been relative, with expenses being slightly lower, which will increase their ending fund balance. Events every year have grown, and that definitely goes to Denny's staff and Liquid Blue. Piper's Opera House, as with the BCTC, this fund is directly affected by the current situation. With that being said, revenues were already growing slower than anticipated. Operational expenses, however, are not. In order to keep Piper's from stay operating, the general fund will supplement the revenues in 2021 with a transfer of $80,000. This transfer could go up when we review further what the current situation is doing to their budget. Overall, all funds are healthy, putting Story County in a good position for the unknown future this pandemic might bring. Currently, your budget team is working on scenarios for possible reductions in revenues and expenses for the final budget. We will keep the commissioners and the public apprised of all possibilities and look forward to following your direction in this situation. Do you have anything for the general?
Sure, Jennifer. Just one note, with all of this, as far as the team, we're all aware that we're in the budget for what's needed across the county. Depending on what happens with this COVID-19 event, what the revenues, and we are prepared potentially not to spend necessarily what we have in our budgets. And that goes for equipment, reclassifications, other staffing needs, those sorts of things. Doesn't mean well it won't happen, but we're going to watch that. This will not put at risk any of the projects that are already ongoing, such as the Highlands Community Center. That is still on board. The road projects are already slated to be completed, et cetera. Those are going to be fine. Thank you.
Jennifer, does that conclude your report for the general? Ms. McKay, do we still have you?
Pardon me?
Okay, you're there now. So does
that... the general fund and supplemental funds, if anyone has any questions.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
I don't have a question specifically, but I'd like to follow back, Jennifer. I think you've done a wonderful job on this budget. Clear, readable, easy to follow, and very professional job. Thank you for that. I am just wanting to reconfirm that we are continuing to focus on line item budgeting. We're starting with our departments at a zero budget, and we're adding the line item necessary for the coming year, as opposed just to increasing on a percentage basis the budget from the previous budget year. And so can you confirm for me that you are implementing and following the line item budgeting process that we've established over the last few years?
Yes, we are following the same process that we've done over the past several years. Each department head comes to us with their budget and we comb through it line by line, and any questions that we have, we make them sit in the hot seat and explain those items to us, and as a group, we decide if things are necessary or not necessary, line item by line item.
So are we going to continue the quarterly reviews of the budget during the next budget session so we can review where we stand on a quarterly basis in each department, specifically if that department is over budget at the time?
Yes, we plan on doing the quarterly reviews, and especially with the current situation, I think that is even more important that we stay on top of how each department is doing and keep a strong vision on where we want to be and a hold on excess spending until we know what this situation unfolds.
Well, I must say that I thank you for the level of professionalism in this budget. I know that you and Austin, everyone formed a team to put this together, but congratulations. It works very well, and I'm excited for the future here with you watching over our comptroller's office, and thank you.
Commissioner Gilman, too, when you talk about line item budgeting, one thing that will be different, as you will see in this year's budget, and especially in the coming years, is now we're taking all of that equipment, the infrastructure, the capital improvements, and even the planning projects, and getting them into the proper CIP funds. Then you can start monitoring what projects are being completed, when are they going to start, when are they going to be completed, what kind of budget savings do you have for them. So this year, as I said before, working with Jennifer, is the 2020-21 projects will start now, will be budgeted for now, may not start now depending what happens with our emergency situation. As you will see in these quarterly updates, we can also give you quarterly updates on what we're doing in the savings account as we're building that CIP for the next 5 years. And you can see that 5 years from now, there's a $100,000 project we're going to have completed. In the years up to that point, we're going to put $25,000 a year into that, and you can see how that grows and the money will be projected in the future. So I think it's very aligned with line item budgeting, and it will allow you to see very clearly what equipment projects are being completed and not have to dig through each department to find them.
Well, this is a terrific start, and I thank you all very much for that. I am anticipating that we're going to have to do some flexing depending on what happens in the next month or two, whether it be our revenue side or our expense side, but we can work with that when the time comes. I just feel like we have a great foundational start here tonight. I thank you for all the effort that I'm looking at.
Thank you.
Commissioner Carmona, any questions or comments?
No questions at this time. I do want to echo what Lance said. I've been working with Jennifer a little bit. I've heard nothing but great things coming out of that office, so I appreciate her ability to pick up the ball and run with it. And that's all I have right now.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, along those lines, I'm really happy with the way the elected officials and department heads have put their budget together here. I'm not putting a lot of fat into it, as they say. I'm appreciative that Vanessa has joined the team also for budgeting. So they've got between all of them together, they've done a terrific job here. As Austin had pointed out before, if you all weren't able to pick it up, is that just because this is in the budget going forward doesn't mean that all these monies are going to be spent. And as Commissioner Gilman pointed out, you know, going forward, if there's a revenue shortfall, we're going to see it after the first quarter. First quarter tax payments are generally made in August. Some people pay them in full. Some people only pay them quarterly. So we'll have an idea where we are revenue-wise, I think, in short order. So like they said, just because it's in the budget doesn't mean all these monies are going to be spent. If we find out we're going to have a shortfall, some of this equipment, some of these projects are going to be put on the back burner. So with that said, I'll open it up to see if there's any public comment out there.
This is Nicole Barr. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Go ahead.
All right. A couple of questions. One is, I know from the first...
Nicole, I would prefer that if you have questions regarding budget items, that you contact the comptroller's office or the department heads to find out why they're doing what they're doing with the budget. This is pretty much the public comment to comment on the budget itself. But if you want specifics, I'd prefer that you go ahead and talk to those people directly.
So you're not entertaining any questions?
This is the public comment portion of the meeting.
Public comment number one. I don't see where we have a textbook agreement this year.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second. Nicole, I'm going to ask you to speak up a little bit.
I said, I do not see that we have an agreement with Tesla this year, just as we didn't have an agreement with Tesla last year, and that looks to be a hole in the budget. The second comment I have is that this year is the first year based on the documents at the beginning of the budget, where I see a number for centrally assessed at 1.8 million. Where in prior years, there wasn't, according to that page, anything listed. So those are that's also disturbing. If we haven't been getting centrally assessed in the past, then I question, why are we getting centrally assessed monies coming in? Those are the revenue for that. So I'll ask these specific questions for clarification outside the meeting, but I wanted it on the record that Tesla never seems to agree to their obligation in time for any budget or at any other time during the year.
Those are both very good questions, and those can be answered. Century Assessed has always been in there. We're just spreading it out on the spreadsheet so you can see it a little bit better, Nicole. But don't hesitate to call Jennifer or Austin in their offices, and they'll be able to explain it to you in detail. Is there any additional public comment? Without hearing any, if I can get a motion to approve the tentative budget for the general and for the exclusion of the sheriff's budget at this time.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the filing of the 2020-2021 Story County tentative budget with the exclusion of the sheriff's budget to the Department of Taxation.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yes, I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now, we're going to go on to item number 19, discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2020-2021 Story County Sheriff's tentative budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any statement to make regarding this?
I do have a statement to make at this point. The litigation that existed between Sheriff Antonaro and I has been settled. And so we no longer have that dimension here, and I will be able to vote on the sheriff's budget in this cycle.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner. All right, Ms. McCain.
Hey, once again, the sheriff's budget includes wages and benefits are due to general merit increases and the health insurance estimate increase of 12.5%. Also, there were a few corrections in the calculations along the lines of a few of the external benefits. Wages overall went down due to some changes in staff work. The Sheriff's Department has requested and was approved for a new part-time administrative assistant position. We also want to make note the union negotiations are currently going on with the deputies, and there are no budgetary changes in this budget for those items. His expenses have gone up. He was recently directed by IT that he needs to replace 13 computers, so that's a significant increase, as well as lab fees and coroner office fees have also increased due to increases in these contracts. Another significant increase for the Sheriff's Department are new legislation regarding mental health responses in medicals and physicals for first responders. That's all for them. If anyone has any questions.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'll start with Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any questions or comment regarding the sheriff's budget?
No questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, I ask you the same thing.
No questions at this time.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner. I'll open up now for public comment. It's a public comment regarding the sheriff's budget, tentative budget. Hearing none, if I can go ahead and get a motion to approve.
Yeah. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the filing of the 2020-2021 Story County Sheriff's tentative budget to the Department of Taxation.
I'll second your motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. At this time, we'll move on to item number 20. We're going to recess now as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor License Board. Next up is item number 21. Discussion for possible action. Approval of the second reading for the approval of on-sale liquor license for the Cafe Del Rio at 394 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicants are Sarah Burnett and Kimberly Moore. Sheriff Antonaro.
As I indicated in the memo that I previously had sent out, the background investigation has been completed. There is no findings that would preclude these individuals from holding such a license, and as such, the recommendation would be to grant the license to them.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Is there any public comment regarding this application for a liquor license? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona. Move to approve the second reading for approval of the on-sale and off-sale liquor licenses for the Cafe Del Rio located at 394 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicants are Sarah Burnett and Kimberly Moore.
I'll second your motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Plus, to let everyone know, they're doing a terrific job up there since they've taken over from Arnie and Brian. Next up is item number 22, discussion for possible action. The first reading of approval of a cabaret license for the Roasting House at 55 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicants are Robert and Mandy Manrose. Sheriff?
On this, just for clarification, this is just the cabaret license, which does fall under the liquor board still. However, they are not seeking to do anything with alcohol at the present time. This is strictly for the live entertainment that they may possibly have going forward. They did indicate they may have an interest in coming back for a liquor license at some point, but it's the first reading. The initial return shows no preclusion, so would recommend the approval for the first reading.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Is there any public comment regarding the first reading of the liquor of the cabaret license for the Roasting House? Hearing none, if we can get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the first reading of a cabaret license for the Roasting House, located at 55 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicants are Robert and Mandy Manios.
I'll second the motion.
Been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. And not to mention that they too run a terrific operation there, and both these restaurants have been open during this event for takeout food. So the Roasting House, I know, is open, I think, 7 days a week, and the Cafe Del Rio is open Friday, Saturday, and Sundays for dinner only, but for curbside pickup, they're both doing a terrific job. I know it personally because I've been utilizing their services. At this time, we'll move on to item number 23. We're going to recess as the Story County Liquor License Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, which brings us to item number 24, discussion for possible action, approval of the second reading for the general business license for the Cafe Del Rio, 394 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Once again, the applicants are Sarah Burnett and Kimberly Moore. So, is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the second reading for general business license for the Cafe Del Rio, located at 394 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicants are Sarah Burnett and Kimberly Moore.
Second your motion.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. At this time, we're going to go ahead and move on to item number 31, discussion for possible action, approval of business license second readings. This is A through F. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me a moment here. The Community Development Department does recommend approval of items A through F for second reading business licenses.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Is there any public comment regarding the approval of the business license second readings? Hearing none, if I could go ahead and get Commissioner Carmona to make a motion.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the second reading of business licenses A through F.
Second your motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 32. This is our public comment segment. So do we have a public comment out there in the audience? Once again, anybody on the telephone that would like to make public comment? Okay, there's no public comment. I'll just remind everyone that we're going to meet again on Thursday, 10 a.m., and we're going to go ahead and go back over the rest of these agenda items and try to finish that up, okay? Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you on Thursday. Meeting's adjourned.